بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال تعالى رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه صدق الله العظيم We make dua to the barakat of the Yasin Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all the marhumin, especially those who passed away recently. And through the barakat of Yasin Sharif, Allah ta'ala gives shifa to all those who are sick, especially our mashayikh and our shaykh, Hazrat Arif Billah, Al-Hakim Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya. We must continue making special duas for his complete shifa, inshaAllah. If you recall, previously we were discussing the biographies of various Sahaba-i-Kiram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And we had mentioned these were shining stars. Whichever one we follow, we will be guided. And every single Sahabi had some beautiful, unique qualities about him. And we explained their simplicity, their taqwa, their generosity, their hospitality, the brotherhood, the unity, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love for Rasulullah they had, the sacrifices they made for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they spread this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala far and wide. So their wives became widows, the children became orphans. But they did not give up. They treasured Islam, they realized the value of Islam, they realized the value of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they would emulate him. They were real ushaq of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sahabiyat, the woman sahaba, also, they displayed such valor and courage and bravery, and they made tremendous sacrifices. It's over more than 1430 years ago. Yet today, alhamdulillah, we have received this deed on a golden platter. And therefore, when we read their incidents in Hayatul Sahaba or in Fazal Amal, many of those incidents seem so difficult for us to comprehend. That on the battlefield, the person is dying out of thirst, and the glass of water or the tumbler is brought to him, and when he hears his brother next to him gasping the last few breaths of his life, almost dying out of thirst, so immediately he gives preference to the next person. And when that person is about to take a few sips to survive, he in turn hears somebody else screaming for water, so he gives that person preference. And like this, each one gives preference to the other until the water comes back to the first person and he had already left this world. Today, inshallah, we will discuss the Sahabi Sa'ad bin Mu'ath radiallahu ta'ala. We mentioned more than 20 or 30 Sahaba al-Kiram. As the Sa'ad bin Mu'ath radiallahu ta'ala is also a very, very great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there were some remarkable deeds in his life. And Allah had blessed him with such dignity, such honor. And the ulama write that it is even difficult to mention the biography of Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, because of having this fear that perhaps we may not even do justice to his biography. He was the great person that after him embracing Islam in Medina, so many others embraced Islam because he was the leader of the Banu Abdul Ashhal clan. And it is mentioned that the day he accepted Iman, Medina literally lit up. This was before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into Medina. And it was this Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that gave strength to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he sought mashura from the Sahaba before embarking on the battle of Badr. When he consulted them, and as we go along we will see, but it was Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala whose statement came very bold and very clear. And Rasulullah SAW then accepted his advice and continued. And it was this particular Sahabi who gave a verdict against the Banu Qurayza tribe. And exactly the verdict he had given, this is what Allah had decided in the heavens. When he passed away, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shuddered out of joy and ecstasy. 70,000 angels came down to attend his janazah. Therefore we find that Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that there were three people in this Banu, from the Banu Abdul Ashhal tribe. And these were the most virtuous of the remaining of them. One was Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an. The other was Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu ta'ala an. And the third was Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu ta'ala an. Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu ta'ala an's incident, you would recall that he was reciting Surah Baqarah and he had his son Yahya next to him and the horse was on the side, and as he was reciting the verses of Surah Baqarah, suddenly he saw light coming down and the horse became very excited and it pulled up its legs, almost meant to tramp Yahya. So Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu ta'ala stopped his recitation. The horse became calm. The light sort of disappeared. He resumed. Again he saw the light coming down. Finally when he had stopped, the next morning he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, informed him this is what happened. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tilkal malaika," those were angels coming down. There were angels coming down. If you had continued your recitation of the surah, the Sahaba ikram would have seen these angels at Fajr. Abba bin Bishr radiallahu ta'ala, his incident is, he and his comrade were standing guard against the enemy, they were protecting the Muslims, and they decided one of us will stay awake, whereas the other will rest for half the night, then next person will wake up, and then this person who was awake, he'll go and sleep. Abba bin Bishr radiallahu ta'ala, if I'm not mistaken, he stood up guarding the Muslim army first against the enemy, and his friend was asleep. So he thought that, why must I just waste my time like that? Let me engage in 2 rakat salat. And he commenced after Surah Fatiha, Surah Al-Kahf. And he was so consumed, so absorbed in the recitation of Surah Al-Kahf, that the enemy comes and pierces him with an arrow, first and second or a third arrow, until he is bleeding profusely, he lunges forward. And then his friend wakes up to see him in this condition. He said, why didn't you wake me up? He says, no. I commend such a surah that I was so consumed, so absorbed and engrossed in the recitation of the surah. Ma uhibbu an aqta'aha. I did not wish to terminate and just break the surah. I was so deeply engrossed in the meanings and in the recitation of the surah. These were sahaba ikram. So nonetheless, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says these three, Sa'ad bin Mu'adh, the sahabi who we're discussing today, and the other was Usayd bin Hudayr, and Abba bin Bishr radiallahu ta'ala, she says there was nobody more virtuous than them in the whole of Banu Abdul Ashhal tribe. How did the Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu accept Islam? Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala, we discuss him in detail also. He was known as the da'i of Islam. He was a mu'allim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends him from Makkah to Medina to give da'wah to the people of Medina, invite them to Islam. So Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala, again he was that young sahabi who had the best of clothes before accepting Islam, the most expensive of perfumes, and we had explained that time when he embraced Islam, his mother got very upset. Normally she would wait to feed him, and if Mus'ab bin Umair had to fall asleep, she would sit with the food and wait for her Mus'ab to wake up so that she could feed him herself. If he passed by any gully, immediately people know that Mus'ab bin Umair passed her because of the rich perfumes he would apply. But the day he embraced Islam, he renounced this world. A time came when Rasulullah SAW is sitting with Sahaba and they're busy discussing something, when suddenly Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu goes past, tattered clothes. Rasulullah himself begins to shed tears. Himself he cries. And he says, I can recall the days when Mus'ab had the most elegant of clothes and the best of perfumes. And the moment he accepted Islam, he gave up all those things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala, he goes to Medina and he makes an effort. Sahaba begin to embrace Islam. As'ad bin Zurara radiallahu ta'ala is amongst the first people to embrace Islam. As'ad bin Zurara radiallahu ta'ala. So himself and Mus'ab bin Umair, now they are busy preaching Islam, giving da'wah of Islam to others. When Sa'ad bin Mu'adh and Usayd bin Hudayr, who we discussed, both of these two were the leaders of their tribes. Sa'ad bin Mu'adh especially was not too happy. He says, who is this guy who has come here? Who is this person? From Makkah. And he is now taking our people away from the deen that they were following. We should put a stop to this. So he tells Usayd, that, oh Usayd, As'ad bin Zurara is my cousin. And I've got a close connection and relationship with him. It's difficult for me now to go there and just stop him. But I beg you, I make a humble plea to you, that you should go there and stop these two people from preaching Islam. So Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu agrees. Takes his sword, and he proceeds. And as he comes there, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu and As'ad bin Zurara radiallahu anhu see him. As'ad bin Zurara is worried. He can see that this is Usayd coming with his sword, ready to charge at them. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu says, so Usayd bin Hudayr goes and he says, what are you doing? And I'm going to stop you all. They tell him, listen, why don't you sit down? You're an intelligent person. Listen to what we have to say. If it makes sense, accept it. If it doesn't make sense, we can discuss it. And then we'll stop inviting towards whatever we are doing. So he says, no problem. He sits down. They read a few verses of the Quran. And he becomes so affected, so impressed. He says, tell me, what should a person do if he wants to embrace his deen of yours? So they explain to him, they give him da'wah to Islam properly, they recite the kalima, they tend to take ghusl. So he purifies himself, he cleans his body, he has a bath and wears clean clothing. And now he is coming back to Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala. Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala sees Usayd bin Hudayr coming from a distance and he sees his face looking different. Why? He left with kufr. Now he brought iman and came. The effect of iman is such that it has effect on the person's face. He says, oh Usayd, what have you brought? Your face is looking different from what you had left. He says, I have accepted Islam. Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu becomes enraged. What have you done? So he takes the sword himself and he rushes to Mus'ab bin Umair and Usayd bin Hudayr. The exact thing happens to him. They tell him, listen to us, whatever we have to say. And they give him da'wah to Islam, they recite verses of the Quran. He also embraces Islam. Now he's returning to his people. They see his face. They say, your face is looking different now. He says, what is your people's opinion about me? He says, you are our leader. The best of opinions you give, and you give the best of verdicts. You are a very honored person. He says, then it is haram for me to speak to any of the men and any of the ladies of our tribe until you embrace Islam. He gives them da'wah to Islam. They also accept Islam. Ulama and mu'arrikhin write, by the evening of the day, there was not a single home of the entire Banu Abdul Ashal tribe that was left without Islam. Every single one of them embraced Islam. So this is how Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam. The battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in their opinions. First he consulted the Muhajireen. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala stood up. He delivered a few words and giving his full support. Then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu stood up, gave his full support. A third Sahabi, Miqdad radiallahu anhu, gave his full support. Or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still not satisfied. Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu realized that Rasulullah SAW has asked, and the Muhajirin have stood up. So they were prepared to give their lives. I think he is seeking our advice on the matter, the Ansar. So he stood up. And very beautifully, very eloquently, he says that, Ya Rasulullah SAW, we have brought Iman in you, we believe in you, and we bear witness of whatever you have brought, that's the truth. And we have pledged allegiance to you, that we will lend all support to you. Ya Rasulullah, if you command us that we should plunge into the ocean, if you command us the huge ocean in front of us, and now there's nothing else but to just jump into the ocean, and you command us to do so, لَخُضْنَا مَعَكْ, we will also plunge into the sea. And not a single one of us will remain behind. And some riwayat is mentioned, Ya Rasulullah, you travel wherever you wish, فَضْعَنْ حَيْثُ مَا شِئْتْ, you join ties with whomever so you wish. You're going to cut off ties and relationship with any person, we are prepared also to cut off our relationship with those people. Ya Rasulullah, whatever you give us, we will accept. Whatever you take from us, we will accept. That which you take away from us is more dearer to us than what remains by us. That which you take away from our properties is that we are prepared to sacrifice for your sake than what you have not taken. In other words, we are prepared to give you everything. We wish that whatever you don't take from us, even that also we can sacrifice for you. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, if you wish that you go right to Barkul Ghimad, very distant place in Yemen, we will also join you in the travel. And if you command us to plunge into the sea also, we are prepared to give our lives for you. When Rasulullah heard this, then he became very happy, and then he proceeded with the battle of Badr. So we can see this Sahabi, what his position was in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The story of the Banu Qurayza, it's a very long story, where they were this tribe that were Rasulullah ﷺ had laid a siege around them, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Sa'ad bin Mu'adh, whatever decision you give, they are prepared to accept. So Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, he was wounded in the battle of Khandaq. Rasulullah had a tent pitched up for him, and Rasulullah would every single day go and visit him. Check on the Sahabi. He was wounded. He was wounded very badly. Rasulullah then sends for him. He is mounted on a donkey. And as he comes, Rasulullah instructs the Sahaba to stand up to help him dismount from this donkey, because he was the leader also. So Rasulullah tells the Sahaba, stand up, this is the leader of your people, and help him to dismount. Then Rasulullah tells him that the Banu Qurayza, whatever decision you give regarding them, they are prepared to listen. So Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu says that my decision is that all the men should be executed, and because they have breached the trust of the Sahaba. They broke all the pledges. And the women and children be spared, they should be taken as slaves. And all their wealth and possessions should be distributed amongst the Muslims. Rasulullah ﷺ remarked that you have passed such a judgment that is in accordance to the divine commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saad radiallahu ta'ala makes a dua, of Allah, you are well aware that there is nothing more dearer to me than to see the Banu Qurayza's fate and plight. These people have falsified you, O Allah. And they have banished Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, it appears that now there won't be any more war. The war with them has terminated. But if there is still a war destined with them, O Allah, keep me alive to wage war against them and see their fate before I gain shahadat and martyrdom. He barely makes his dua, and the wound that he had suddenly begins to bleed profusely. Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was visited by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had just left him, when Jibreel alayhi salatu salam comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man hadha alladhi futihat lahu abwabu sama wa ihtazalahu arshur rahman, who is a sahabi of yours that because of him the doors of the heavens have opened up and the arsh of Allah has shedded, or the arsh of Allah has shaken out of ecstasy and joy and happiness with the demise of this great sahabi of yours. So Jibreel alayhi salam comes to inform Rasulullah salam that Sa'ad bin Mu'adh has passed away. He goes and he places the head of Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala on his lap. And this is how Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala was given martyrdom. Rasulullah salam hastened the sahaba to the ghusl of Sa'ad bin Mu'adh. Sahaba said, why are you rushing us? It's very strange. He says, let not the angels beat us to give ghusl to Sa'ad bin Mu'adh, just as they preceded us when we came to Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala in the battle of Uhud. Hanzala, before the Sahaba could give him ghusl, the angels already beat the Sahaba and they gave him ghusl. He says, before the angels go, we must be there first. But on the occasion of his janaza, Rasulullah tiptoed. He tiptoed. Sahaba asked, how come? Rasulullah explained that 70,000 angels have come down just to attend the janazah of Sa'ad bin Mu'adh. There was no space even for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to walk. Such a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned that one sahabi, when he had seen a gift that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a silk shawl, and he began to feel the shawl, and he said, it's so soft. Rasulullah said, أَتَعْجَبُونَ مِنْ لِينِ هَذَا, you are showing, expressing your astonishment with this silk being so soft. He says, Allah's qasam, the shawl of Sa'ad bin Mu'adh in Jannat is more softer than this shawl. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala. There's so many other incidents regarding Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala. But this is a brief biography of Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the akhlaq of the Sahaba ikram, the love they had for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sacrifices they made for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the various jihad that took place. They were prepared to give their lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are battling even to make our normal 5-time Fard Salat. Ramadan, it is such a great task for us. To give some zakat, which is Fard, that too is such a burden on ourselves. Lillah is dur ki baat. Zakat is very easy to give. People have discharged zakat, okay. When it comes to lillah, then suddenly nobody is prepared to help so many others. And so many other good causes that take place indeed. There's some disasters or so many other problems. Or there are people needy in the community who may not be zakatable. They might have just that amount over nisab. Yet they are battling, they are poor. So these are the things we should look and search for such people. See of what assistance we can be to them. The sahabi would go to sleep on an empty stomach, but he would make sure that the visitor who came from far was a mahman of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would make sure that he would entertain him. The manner in which the sahabi would deal, just his mere transaction, how he dealt with his customer, that was enough for that person to become affected. The sahaba who went to China, how did the people in China accept Islam? They were impressed with the akhlaq and the honesty and the truthfulness of these sahaba when he conducted those transactions. When he came to controlling the zuban, ghibat, lying, deceiving, they were very, very mindful, they were watchful. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the tarbiyat. Whenever they made some mistake, error, they were human beings. Sahaba were not sinless, they were not ma'asum. Only Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam are ma'asum. Yes, the awliya Allah are mahfuz. There's a difference in this, inshallah, some other time we'll explain. Only the Nabis of Allah, they are ma'soom, they are sinless. So Sahaba made mistakes, we will find. But they made amends, they made sincere tawbah, sincere istighfar. And the tawbah of Sahaba was such that they would cry days on end. One ayat of the Quran would affect them in such a way that the Sahabi would become sick. We read the incident of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. That when the scrolls, when the registers will be opened, your nama yamal will be presented to you. Then what will be the condition? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala became so sick that Sahaba had to go to his house to visit him. He couldn't wake up from his bed. Now these are the things we talk about Sahaba ikram. We talk about iman, taqwa, tasawuf, tazkiyah. Now all these things, we look in the life of Sahaba, they had these things. Therefore they were shining stars. Now this does not mean that you and I cannot become such that we can imitate the Sahaba. We can't become Sahaba, definitely. But at least if we follow the lifestyle of the Sahaba, and they followed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in reality we're following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were human beings like us. They were not Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So when they made a mistake, they made tawbah. They made amends. They made sacrifices for deen. They showed their generosity. They showed the purity of their hearts. They would not harbor malice. If there was any problem, they would go and sort out that problem. May Allah subhanahu wa give us tawfiq and hidayat. We need to read about the Sahaba ikram again and again. The more we read about the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, the love of Sahaba will come into our hearts. And when the love of Sahaba comes into our hearts, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will definitely come into our hearts. And then we will aspire to become like them. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah's kitab, where he got stories of Sahaba in the beginning, is no simple kitab, no ordinary kitab. It is accepted worldwide. The problem is we don't sit with concentration. We have no time at home to pick up the kitab. Not even 5 minutes. Allah forgive us. Even those who are learned don't even have time to sit with their families and discuss about Sahaba ikram. So what will be the result? Our children will not know the names of Sahaba. We won't even keep our children's name and grandchildren's name according to Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and Sahaba ikram. And almost every week now we get people who ask for names. And I promise you, such weird names. When Hazrat Maulana should mention, then we should laugh. That Mikael and Jibreel and Israfil and one time he said, kid of name, Alu Piaj or something, because the person phoned him so late at night and disturbed his whole sleep and said, excitement in our house, because we got a baby. Hazrat said, no, excitement in my house, I'm fast asleep. And hardly any sleep he would get. And then he gave a whole list of names. No, we don't want this name no good. So Suleiman is no good, Ibrahim is no good, Muhammad is no good, Ahmad no good. Sahaba's name no good. We just want to impress people, really. Names of girls and boys. We have to look, really, as students of deen, we have to look in the dictionaries and see what is the root of this word, whether such a word exists or not. Now I promise you, I don't know who the people are, in most cases. And as he mentioned also, one person even asked me, can't we keep the English equivalent of the name? So instead of Yusuf, they want to keep Joseph. So I said, keep Jesus and Moses also. This is to impress people. We're leaving the road of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're leaving the road of Sahaba ikram. I take qasam in Allah, read the Hayatul Sahaba. It's in English, translated. Different incidents. But let's read with an open mind and see what nur comes in the person's heart. How you just want to become like the Sahaba. You will shed tears. There will be barakat in that home. If the husband and wife are not on talking terms, start ta'aleem at home only for 10 minutes, not more than that. and have turns to read. And I can swear by Allah, this is tried and tested by all our mashayikh, that immediately Allah's barakat comes. It affects the children. Otherwise they'll have punky hairstyles. The entire holiday will be spent only in filth, filth, filth. And because parents are very busy, father is busy, it's Christmas now. Mother is busy visiting all the different malls. And nobody has time. So we just want to get rid of those children. So we'll send them to their friends, or they are free to move anywhere. And we'll pretend as though we're reprimanding them, and we're going to check on you, we don't keep any checks. And these are the times when Allah save our young girls and boys. This is the time when zina takes place freely. And that same daughter of yours, or granddaughter or niece, can become pregnant. And then we go ask fatwas whether we can abort the child or not. These are times when shaitan injects the air. And everybody seems to get trapped and engulfed in just vice and sin. And this is the time we have to be on our guard. We have young children at home, grandchildren, nephews, nieces. It is our job, our duty to make sure the iman is secure. Their lives are secure. Nobody is saying you can't have halal entertainment. But provide that halal entertainment for them. Be with them. Let them enjoy themselves. December, there's no schools. Our masajid should be full. The youngsters should be here for all the salat. Other time we say, okay, they're going for this class and that class. For all the salat, they should be here. If you look around now, it's only the adults sitting there. We are the youth. There's no school, there's no tuition, there's no examination. Just as we want to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to make sure our children become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before it becomes too late, and the tree already is grown, and then we're not sure what to do, then we have to chop the entire tree down. Let us plant the seed correctly. We have young girls at home. The attire they're wearing, the hair, the hairstyles, their friends. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala make our hifazat. Inshallah, today we will discuss what we have been discussing all the time. We've heard from all the ulama, mashayikh, and that is the greatest enemy we have within ourselves, and that is nafs. Our Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhu Min Aliyah has mentioned in different poetry of his about nafs, about sins, about gunah. In one couplet he had mentioned, nafs ka jo ghulam hai, nafs ka jo ghulam hai, gharq hai wo gunah mein. That person who becomes a ghulam, a slave of his nafs, then he finds himself being consumed in sins. All the time is one guna, another guna, another guna, another guna. Why? Because he is in the bondage of this nafs. He listens to the dictates and demands of nafs. Nafs, he stand. Nafs, he sit, he sits. Nafs has become his master. And this person has become the slave. The example they normally give is that of a rider and the horse. The nafs is the horse. Now when we talk about nafs, 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 or wherever we talk about the evils of the nafs, nafs is one. But nafs has three stages. The first one is nafs ammara. And then lawwama. And then mutmainna. The nafs is still the same. But the nafs goes through a physical, or it goes through a training and exercise period. It goes through different stages until it is completely tamed and trained. And it's within the person's control. So like the rider who rides the horse, and the first time he's riding this horse, he's learned how to ride, but this is the first time he's sitting on this Arab horse. So obviously this horse is going to throw him off. It'll take him some time to get used to and accustomed to this horse. He might need somebody to hold the reins of the horse with him and just walk along with the horse. And then you do a few trots before he's able to gallop. He'll be a fool if he sits on this horse and expects to just gallop on this horse. He will stumble, he will fall, he will get hurt. This is the first stage. But as time will go, he will fall, he'll get hurt, he'll go back onto the horse, he'll learn more, he'll get accustomed to this horse, and then he will rebuke the horse. The horse will now listen to the rider, and he will make out from the voice of the rider as to what the rider is commanding it. So now it's becoming trained and more tamed. At first it was wild. Until a time comes when this person becomes so skillful and this horse becomes so tamed and well trained by this rider that he can gallop at a very fast speed. And if there are ditches and holes and there are trenches or there are some obstacles, the horse would evade these obstacles. He'll overcome these obstacles. Like how they have those horse shows. But the rider, he becomes a perfect rider, very skillful rider, and he's able from a short distance to just run, jump onto the horse, and then it runs over, goes over the obstacles. So a time comes when this rider becomes such that he is the master, and he's got full control over this horse, that now he's even able to stand on the horse and do tricks on the horse. But still he's very wary of any holes, any ditches, and he's wary of the tricks of the horse. Perhaps this horse has learned some new trick. So he's very cautious, he's on guard. This is the final stage, nafsul mutmainna. Initially the nafs is wild. Person has to tame this nafs. It takes a long period of mujahada. And then, so the first, the nafs will tempt the person, ammara, command it towards evil. Force it towards evil, lure it towards haram. But then the person has got control over the horse. Now there will be times when this nafs will pull it towards evil, but at the same time the person will overcome this. So lawwama, it is a stage where both sometimes the person will fall, but other times the person will have full control over the horse. And then he comes to mutma'inna, when he has full control of this horse. He has some type of reliance or some type of security. He's not afraid that now he'll be overpowered by this nafs. Another example that I had given, a person has a child. Allama Busayri rahmatullah in his qasida burda said, "Wa nafsu katifl." The nafs is like a child. If you let this child drink the milk of his mother, the child is being suckled by the mother. And we know, after 2 years now, it's not permissible to give the child any more milk. It must not be fed by the mother. Now, if the child continues and is not weaned off, it will be 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, and many years, and the big child will still be drinking milk from the mother's breast. Exactly like that. If the nafs is not weaned off, and you continue feeding it with all haram, then it will grow, and it will gain such strength, that now to wean it off, later when the person is old now, becomes very difficult. So this example I give normally, that this child of yours, you love the child. When we say you must kill the nafs, doesn't mean you take a knife and you slaughter the nafs. No. When you annihilate this nafs, means you must train this nafs in the manner in which we explain, you make mujahada. You go against the desires or the demands of this nafs if it is not in accordance to Shariat. So you fight this nafs all the time. You are training this nafs. And you protect that nafs from evil temptations. So this child of yours is a little baby and you are traveling. So you have a baby seat for it in the back of the car. And you don't leave the child loose to sit there. You fasten the belt. This is a driver has to fasten his seat belt. You have a little belt and the child is fastened. It is safe, secure. Despite being there, the father will keep on monitoring from the mirror, checking the child is okay.
And now and then he'll turn around to see, the mother also will keep a check on this child. Like that, a person has to be very cautious of this nafs. All the time your nigah, your eyes must be on this nafs. That is my nafs getting too excited because people have praised it? Is my nafs becoming greedy for more wealth? Is my nafs becoming very angry very quickly? Is my nafs getting tempted with the love of the world? Is my nafs getting tempted with the love of that haram woman? So all the time, just as the parents monitor, then the child is growing. You're not going to keep a 3-year-old child in the baby seat in the back now. So now you'll unfasten it. Now you let the child sit in the back seat still, but you have a child's safety lock. The doors are locked in the back. So you, as a parent, can only open the door from outside. The child is unable to open the door from inside. And then too, you tell the child not to sit too close to the window. And you make sure that window is locked from the front so the child doesn't open the window and sticks his head out. It'll be dangerous for the child. So you're still monitoring the child. You are training the child. Like that, you are training your nafs. Then comes the time when the child is no longer a little child, is a youth. So now the son wants to sit in front with the father. So he sits in the passenger seat. And there also, the father tells him, "Boy, put your seatbelt on. Perhaps there's some police in front. Or in case there's an accident." And the father is still monitoring the child. And the doors are all locked. And then comes a time when the child is well trained and he gets his license, everything. Now the father sits in the passenger seat and the son is driving. But then too, father is checking the speedometer. Boy, take it easy. You're going too fast. Well, sometimes the child gets a bit edgy, but he has to abide, listen to the father. Just like that, the nafs, your nigah, your eyes have to be on the nafs all the time. Watching this nafs, training this nafs. You have to reprimand, rebuke this nafs. Not that you hate this nafs. When Rasulullah says this is the worst of enemy, it doesn't mean the whole day you start cursing this nafs. No. Rasulullah made a dua. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha. Ya Allah, this nafs we got, give it its taqwa, its piety. Wa zakkiha. Ya Allah, purify this nafs of ours. Anta khairu man zakkaha. You are the best of purifiers. Anta waliyuha wa mula. You are the guardian, you are the protector of this nafs. It's in your control. So Rasulullah shows us the ilaj also. That make this dua. We don't make this dua. Simple dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Oh Allah, I seek your protection. Min sharri nafsi. From the evils of my nafs. From the temptations of my nafs. We are weak. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ نَفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُوءٍ. In Surah Yusuf tafsir we discussed that Yusuf alayhi salam making this dua and he's exclaiming, "Ya Allah, I am not free, I am not bari. I am not free from the temptations and of my nafs. The nafs keeps on prompting me towards evil or commanding me or seducing me towards evil. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Oh Allah, except that person who you have mercy upon." In other words, oh Allah, have mercy upon me. We need Allah's mercy to be protected and to guard ourselves against the evils of our nafs. So Hazrat says, nafs ka jo ghulam hai, gharq hai wo gunam hai. That person who is a slave of his nafs, then he finds himself absorbed, engrossed in gunas upon gunas upon gunas. What a life is it? He says, kyun na kahu ki zindagi kitni hai uski wahiyat. Why shouldn't I say that such a person's life is miserable? Miserable. Filthy life of just listening to the dictates of a person's nafs. Wahiyat. It's an appalling life, full of misery. It is an awful life. Allama Muhasibi Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned, Hasib nafsaka fi kulli khatratin. Every thought that you go through your mind, check whether it's an evil thought or a good thought. Waraqi billaha fi kulli lahza. Or fi kulli nafas. In every breath that you take, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may seem such a difficult task all the time if you think of what thoughts are coming in, whether it's good or bad, and all the time to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all the time checking on our nafs. I mentioned the example that you love that child. You don't want any harm to come to that child. Therefore you got the child secure. You're watching in the rear view mirror all the time. You're monitoring the child. You're making sure that the child is safe and sound. So why not then we have such care over our nafs? And if you don't understand these examples, then take a third example. I'm not inviting anybody to go watch any boxing matches, but this is what our ulama and mashayikh have said. It's a kushti, it's a wrestling match between nafs and yourself. Kabhi tu dabale, kabhi wo dabale. Sometimes you overpower, you put the nafs to the ground. Sometimes you overpower, you insan. So when that happens, what do? Fafirru ila Allah. Turn to Allah. Run towards Allah. Oh Allah, I'm maghloob. Rabbi inni maghloobun fantasir. Oh Allah, I'm overpowered. Nafs and shaitan, dono no milkar. Hai kya mujhko tabah. Allah, they've destroyed me. What does it mean, oh Allah? I'm seeking your assistance. Oh Allah, you come to my madad. And Allah's promise is Allah will come to a person's rescue. Allah will come as long as the person is in. See, all the mashayikh, the kitab that I've read, and our mashayikh have all stated, when a person is determined, he's sincere, that now I want to reform myself. And I always say, take the baby steps towards Allah. Allah comes running to you. You will stumble, you will fall, you will become overpowered by nafs. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your work easy for you. He will facilitate this path towards Him. He'll make it easy for you. Initially there will be this difficulty. The example I want to share with is there's a boxing match taking place. And you're a fighter and you're fighting your opponent. You've got your boxing gloves and you're fighting. So first couple of rounds he's giving you some good jabs and uppercuts and he's giving you some powerful blows. And after that the bell is sounded and then you go on your side and then your trainer is not again motivating you. I don't know anything about boxing, but just from school days we... But then he tells you, please, now you must watch it, you must do this. And the cut you have below your eye tends to that. And if you bruise somewhere else, he peps you up and again you're fighting. Now you're fighting with more caution. First round you miss a few, or you got a few nice solid punches. Now you know how to defend. And like this, a few rounds take place and now you're becoming more and more wary of the tricks of your opponent. You are getting exhausted, you are getting tired. But then you have a small break just to get some strength again. And you can drink some water or whatever it is. But even if you lose that match, there's always a rematch. And the day comes when you fight this opponent, because then you study how this person's tactics are in the boxing ring. And you don't give up hope, because you want to win that title. And the day comes when you learned the tricks of this opponent. And before he can punch you, you punch him before he can even land the punch on you. And you defend very well. And you move so fast in that ring that he's unable to even keep up to your pace. And you catch him unguarded. He's unaware. And you bruise his entire face and he falls down and he loses the match. And then you are given that belt. You are the now, the new... Champion, if you got the new title, you're the new heavyweight title holder. That dunya title is absolutely nothing. What is that gold belt? Of no worth whatsoever. But imagine when you make your nafs maghloob, and you ghalib, and you get the title of wali of Allah. And you gain the title of wilayat, when Allah sees this person is my friend. Maghrib salat we heard, Allahu waliyul ladina aman. Allah becomes the wali of the believers. Why? يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah removes them from darknesses to nur. That person first was in evil. Sometimes the person was a disbeliever, then he brought iman, and then he changed his life and Allah gave him wilayat. Sometimes the person was a sinner. Yes, there are some people whom from the time they're born, Allah gives, make them wali. Those are different. Perhaps most of you may be like that. But for people like myself, we are indulging in sin all the time. So we want the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah removes us from darknesses. Never lose hope, never lose hope, never lose hope. There are so many things we'd like to discuss. We just got a few minutes, inshallah. Allah wasiullah rahmatullahi has mentioned some beautiful things and he says, what we have already mentioned, he said, Lekin jab insan, Allah ta'ala ke fazal اور کی توفیق سے اس کی اصلاح کی در پہ ہو جاتا ہے تو پھر اس کو اپنی برائیاں بھی بری معلوم ہونے لگتی ہے. The moment a person is determined, I want to make my islah he sincere, then there comes a time when those evil actions he was involved in, those evil actions, he gets nafrat from those things. He begins to despise and hate those actions he was involved in. Allah Ta'ala save us. There was a person who came to me and he got involved in with some haram relationship with a woman, with a prostitute. And he says, the moment he finished, indulged in zina, he says, I felt so terrible, so miserable, so miserable. I ran from the room. I ran out from the room. I never felt such misery in my life like that. Guna only brings misery. And the moment he made tawbah, istighfar, took a ghusl, Allah has got ajeeb, this ghusl is such a taharat. Looks like we're only pouring water over our external body, but it purifies our heart as well. When he made sincere tawbah, istighfar, alhamdulillah, then he changed his life. But this only misery, guna only brings misery. But the person, when he makes tawbah, then those same gunas he begins to hate them. As it mentions, یو اپنی شرارت اور انہماک فی اللذات کی وجہ سے رضائل کو چاہے نہ چھوڑ سکے, لیکن ایک مرتبہ ایسا بھی آتا ہے کہ ان رضائل سے اسے نفرت معلوم ہونے لگتی ہے. یہ درجہ گو کمال نہیں, تاہم مقصد کمال ہونے کی وجہ سے مطلوب اور محمود ہے. یہی وجہ ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے نفس کی اس مرتبہ کی قسم کھائی ہے اور ارشاد فرمایا, لا اقسم بیوم القیامہ ولا اقسم بالنفس اللوامہ. He says, even though a person is unable to just discard in all the sins that he was committing, the nafs still has some shararat. It still tempts you all the time. See, one or two gunas you were able to abandon. But the nafs will keep on provoking you. He says, even though you have not, this is not, you haven't reached the end of kamal, the pinnacle of perfection, but this is the road towards the perfection. So this is giving us hope. That you continue in this way. Person is still indulging in sins, but he's making tawbah and he's abstaining from sins. At least some sins he made tawbah. He must make tawbah from all sins. Now he's making an effort in the right direction. It's not possible suddenly you made tawbah from all sins and now khalas, you don't even... No, you will make tawbah initially with few sins and then you continue in this way. But what is happening? You are disciplining your nafs. And the little discipline it gets, little discipline it gets, automatically a person will find that so many other gunas which he still didn't yet put his full concentration on, because of few major sins that now he worked on and he abandoned, Allah Ta'ala makes it such that other sins also automatically fall off. This is when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala makes the road towards him easy, and Allah says, Allah has taken a qasam on this nafs that keeps on provoking you, and tells you, incites you towards haram. He said, پھر طبعی ترتیب بھی یہی ہے کہ پہلے انسان کے ذہن صاف ہوتا ہے, اس کی عقیدہ کی اصلاح ہوتی ہے, اچھی چیزوں کی اچھائی اور بری باتوں کی برائی قلب میں آ جاتی ہے, اس کے بعد پھر اس کے تقاضے پر عمل بھی ہونے لگتا ہے. چنانچہ ایک طویل عرصے اور مجاہدہ کے بعد یہی نفس مطمئنہ ہو جاتا ہے. This would be explained. After a lot of mujahada, now the person's عقیدہ becomes correct. His belief in Allah Ta'ala becomes correct. His yaqeen becomes correct. His barosa, tawakkul on Allah becomes correct. Then he realizes Allah is my provider. Allah is my nourisher. Allah is my protector. Then he realizes that my speaking lies, my deceiving the customer is only going to take away the barakat of my business and I'm not going to enjoy the profits of what I'm getting. Now slowly, slowly what is happening? He's becoming more Allah conscious. He's becoming aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حضرت says that Rasulullah نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ اعدا عدوبک نفسک التی بین جنبیک, that the worst of your enemy is this nafs which is within your body, beneath your two sides, within you, this is your nafs, and you have to be very wary of this nafs. In one riwayat is mentioned, Rasulullah asked the sahaba, What do you think of that person, that friend of yours? You feed him, you clothe him, you give him all the pleasures and all the good things. But he still disobeys you. In fact, he harms you, he hurts you. And he gains great pleasure in seeing you in misery, in my explanation. On the other hand, you get a person whom you're not giving the nourishment, you're depriving him. You're not giving him clothes. And that person is still so obedient to you and loyal to you. So what kind of person this is? Rasulullah explains, this is your nafs. You feed the nafs, you nourish the nafs, you give all, whatever the nafs demands, you give it. But this nafs becomes your enemy. The nafs becomes your enemy. The nafs does not want to see you prosperous and becoming Allah wala. But when you don't give the nourishment, and of course, what nourishment? You're talking about haram nourishment to the nafs. The real nourishment that nafs should get is what? Dhikrullah. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sitting in the company of mashayikh, in the friends of Allah, and I mentioned many times now, please, I'm not referring to myself because we are in the same boat, we are still battling the first stage of our nafs. May Allah ta'ala give us nafs mutmainna. But we have true mashayikh in our country and abroad, the real Allah walas. Over reading the kitabs at least. Stay in the musahabat, in the suhbat. Making dhikr, bil mudawamat. Dhikr excessively. Stay in the company of mashayikh. Going to a tabib, a doctor, a spiritual doctor who will be able to diagnose your weaknesses, your problems. For dunya, we go to the GP, we go to the specialist, we go to the surgeon, and they're able to diagnose. And so many times we haven't even mentioned certain things, and they just look at us and take the x-ray and say, no, this is what's wrong with you. They take the blood sample, the urine sample. They say, no, you're suffering from this disease. And therefore this antibiotic and this medication. Exactly that for our nafs, for our spiritual selves. Believe me, we do not know. So many times we've got the illness, sickness of pride. And we are ruining our a'mal. We've got hasad. We're doing so much of ibadat, so much of sadqa, khairat, hajj, umrah. But the hasad is actually devouring of a good deed. We can't see the good of the next person. Especially in December. Hey, that guy is so busy. And I can see so many coming out from his shop with big, big parcels. Now we begin to complain against Allah. We're not happy with that. Good luck to him, mashallah, if he's getting so much. We must make our effort, make tawakkul Allah, read our salat, do what we're supposed to do. Allah guarantees that Allah will give us. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. It's a very, very long subject on nafs. May Allah ta'ala help us to train our nafs and not to become ghulam of our nafs. Let us become ghulam of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we will find ourselves having that sukoon in our heart. We have the itminan in our heart. Then we will try come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though we stumble and we fall, Allah will raise us. Allah is so kind, Allah is so kind. Allah ta'ala will give us that noor in our heart. And little bit, there are people who have written, and most of the time it's females because they take these things seriously. Just a matter of 2-3 weeks, and there's such changes in their lives. Previously they were not reading so much of Quran, now they are enjoying the recitation of the Quran. They want to understand the meaning of the Quran. They are so pabun on the dhikr adhkar. They engage in dua and tawbah, istighfar. They are so careful of now going to haram functions. They are so careful of exposing the faces, and they want to go into hijab. So we can do the same thing. Then let us become wary of our nafs and make the small changes, initial changes, and see Allah Ta'ala makes things easy for us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.